timing on not only just one huge moment in time, but two. Thank you, Donna Brewer and Joyce Tapper and others, for so faithfully following God and praying for people of our congregations, As Christ's body, we all play a part, and it is so incredible when we lean into the community He has called us into and pray and serve and love. First Presbyterian is such a blessing. That was an amazing prayer. But listening to Jim, oh my goodness, another great prayer being answered. First of all, I don't know if you remember that he had thyroid cancer, and he was in the process of being checked every year, and apparently this cancer can come back because there's cells that are still kind of attached to the thyroid. They've taken out his thyroid, and a couple years later, the doctor looked at him and said, you are completely cured of cancer. There's no cancer around that, which is amazement. So he had an opportunity. I love this story. He had an opportunity to go to Indonesia. Now, he only went there for one reason. He's an engineer. All he wanted to do was just work, construction. I love this story. So he gets there, and suddenly he asked to be a part of the worship service and to give them a testimony. Well, all day he's working on construction, and he was really not prepared to do this. Matter of fact, he told me he can't remember one thing that he said because it was just one of those things. But he said he prayed and talked about his cancer in his throat and how God healed him. And for almost like an hour and a half afterwards, all the people in the congregation came up and wanted prayer from Jim. But that's not the only interesting part. If you remember this, I love this story. What happened is that there was a mom who went and had asked him to come over, and here he witnessed her son on the floor, unconscious, heavily heated with fever, and he just prayed for him. He found out next day, he woke up, whatever, 4 or 5 in the morning, fever broken, and he went back to the quarry beating on rocks. That's not even the end of the story. He also, what happened, in the midst of all that, his retina detached from his eye. He saw spider veins, and he was wondering what's going on. For more than 24 hours, he is going up and down, and it was pressurized planes just to get to the hospital. When he got to the hospital, two doctors both said that he should have been blind. One of them related to a miracle. The other one inferred that. Great, great stories. I love the story of Ted, how at the age of 4, that he was not supposed to make it. And back in those days, without hospital help, there's just no way that a little child like that could make it. But God preserved him. God gave him to us as a blessing in those stories. So I really love those stories. And, you know, there's a passage in Acts that we look at as sort of the blueprint, the foundation of what a church looks like. It's Acts chapter 2. It talks about how the elders are coming together and the church is growing. But one of the things that it said right here, in Acts 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, this is the part that many times we overlook, okay? And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. You know, we're thinking spectacular signs, but no, answered prayer. People were being healed from so many things as the apostles were praying for the people. And one of the best ways to prepare ourselves, especially here at the church, is to hear these amazing testimonies of how God answered people's prayers miraculously. It sets us up. It provides us with this wonderful knowledge and awareness of God's power in our life. So we know that there's all kinds of wonderful prayers in the New Testament. Not too many, but there are some prayers, especially one from Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, that to me, just getting into that and thinking about what that is about and thinking about what Christ did and how he surrendered his will to his Father. In the same way, he had another great prayer, if you ever want to read it, is chapter 17 of John. He prays for us. He prays for his apostles. Listen, read to that prayer. It is an amazing prayer. But the beautiful thing about both of those prayers that they have the same pattern, very same pattern, as the prayer that Jesus taught us in Our Father. I think you all know that I speak about the Lord's Prayer so many times because it has been so transformational in my life. It also has provided me with phenomenal perception every day. Every day, I start with one part of the prayer. On Monday, Our Father who art in heaven. on Tuesday. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Immediately, this is just my natural of eating, putting food in my life. I wake up with that, and it gives me this perspective, this amazing perspective. It puts me in this amazing sense of God's presence. It's been such a transformational part of my life, and I love this prayer. It is so simple, but so profound. So let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus Christ. This is the greatest sermon that the world has ever heard. No other pastor, no other preacher preach maybe some great sermons out there, but this sermon is the sermon. And in that, he just describes the kingdom of God in so many ways. But the one part I love so beautifully is what we just read. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do. Now, I want you to know that I've witnessed this in the Christian church. There are times that we pray in a way that it seems like all that person wants to do is hear his voice or her voice and how elegant in a prayer. That's just my pet peeve. You know, I love those simple, honest prayers that are connecting with God, and all they think about is talking to God and not about people around them. Do not be like the Gentiles, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows exactly what we need. Exactly. Then pray like this. Just a beautiful, simple prayer. Our Father in heaven. That's the focus we're going to have on this morning. But hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name is so beautiful because this prayer is not just for us talking about God, but also it helps us to pray for other people. Hallowed be thy name. God wants us to be holy, set apart as he is set apart. It reminds us the importance of holiness in our lives. And then it says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. The world always encroaches on us. It tells us the bad news of politicians. It tells us all the crazy things that are happening in our society. But being reminded that God's kingdom is real and is right now, it puts me in the right mind frame. Yeah, the world's out there. They're going to do that stuff. I'm not going to let them affect my attitude and the way I look at life. I'm going to focus on the kingdom of God and what God is doing. Give us this day our daily bread. I pray, God, what do I need in my life? What do others need in their life that I can pray for? Whatever it is, it provides me a way, a perception, a perspective of praying for others. And this one here, and forgive us our debts. Every week I'm screwing up. Every week I trip. Every week I'm doing something and I have to sit back and say, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Again, putting my foot in my mouth. That's a good one for me. But also it helps me to know that there are other people out there that hurt me throughout the week, that they've sinned against me. And God wants me to be mindful of how I can forgive them and pray for them. It's really important in my life. And then lead us not into temptation. Oh, so important. So many temptations out there. But deliver us from not evil, the evil one. It's been translated from the Greek perfectly. The evil one. A generalized evil is just sort of kind of cloud that floats around. But a personalized evil that comes at you, that strategizes, wants you to divide, wants you to be destroyed, is a whole different perspective. It helps me. And today, you know, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Again, putting everything together. So this prayer is powerful. But the one thing that I want to look at and focus on is this beautiful thing called Our Father in Heaven. That is a phrase that was not used in the Old Testament. We didn't have that type of privilege when we addressed God. God made it very clear how we address him in the Old Testament. We do hear about him having father-like attributes. But you do not address God of heaven, Father. That is a privilege that God gives us through Jesus Christ. And there's a reason why. Because Jesus Christ basically said, because I brought you to the Father, brought this right relationship, you have this privilege of Father. Now, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of people out there talking about God, and we're children of God. Now, this might trip you up a little bit. I hope you can just listen for a second. The only people that are children of God are those who are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're the only ones that can call God Father. We're the only ones in which God has called us, has predestined us to be in his presence. He's given us this beautiful Spirit in us that reminds us that we're children of God. We are His sons and daughter. Outside of that, we're maybe His created people. But Jesus makes it very clear, and Romans makes it very clear. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, this is really important, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The only spirit that's in us is when we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. We're born into the kingdom of God, and God gives us the Holy Spirit. That spirit connects with our spirit, and it bears witness that we are His children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we also may be glorified. Now, I want you to know that there's a difference between a corporate father and a personal father. Now, God has given us this beautiful passage in the Old Testament, Lord's Prayer, that it's our Father. But what Christ really wants us to know, that we can call what we have here, is we can call God our personal Father. Not just a corporate, but I can go to God, my Father in heaven, personally, and speak to Him, and that's His desire for us to do. So this morning's theme is really simple. It's your Father in heaven loves to hear you pray. Your Father in heaven loves to hear you pray. He created us for that. He redeemed us for that. He gave us the beautiful gift of communication. He given us the ability to be able to share our heart, our soul, all the parts of our body to our Father, and He loves that. So, how great thou art. Well, your Father in heaven. Now, yesterday we were given men's ministry. We were given this great video. Has anybody ever see the show? It's actually a video about maybe 40 minutes from Louis Gigolo. It's called the How Great Thou Art video. Anybody ever seen that before? It's great. Because what happens is that he comes together and he sits back and says, I first of all want to tell you how majestic God is. And He shows us the galaxies, and He tells us how big we are as the Earth compared to the sun. 960,000 Earths can fit into just the sun, which is not a big star. So he shows us how these stars, how huge they are, and He takes the golf ball and says, here's Earth, and just can you imagine what this looks like? The largest star in the universe is called the Big Dog. It's in Latin, but it's called the Big Dog. And if you can imagine this golf ball here, and if you could go to Mount Denali, and put this golf ball and stick it right there, and pull back about 5 miles, first of all, you won't even see this, but that's how big Big Dog is with comparing to our Earth. Right there in this vastness of Mount Everest, but I use Mount Denali because it's closer to home. So when you do that and you pull it back, and even if you could put yourself on this little golf ball, you can't. There is no fine marker out there or anything to actually even put you on it. You have to get to a microscope. You have to be able to have the ability to put this little thing on this golf ball. Why is that significant? Because no matter how great the universe is, how small we are, He turns it around and said, but what is so beautiful, God has called you to be His son and daughter. That He has predestined you to be His son and daughter. So I want to share with you, this is an amazing passage. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoptions as Son through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of will. God has said this. He said, no matter how large the universe is, how large the great, the big dog is, and how small you may seem to be on this planet on a golf ball, which you can't even see compared to Mount Denali, that God has chosen you to be you and has called you to be His son and daughter. That blows me away. And then He gives us sort of an illustration of how we came into life. How he planned this together, how the seed and the A come together, and the miraculous part of how that comes together, and how we grow from that cell. And then he shows us a picture of a pin, the head of a pin, with 16 little cells together, and says, there you are, that's you. But God has predestined you with everything you need to be who you are. And you grow in this vast world with so many people throughout history, but God says, I've chosen you. This is so blows me away. I've chosen you to be my son and daughter, and I want you to talk to me. I want you to call me Father, and I want you to be in this amazing relationship. And God has given us a spirit that reminds us that we are his children. See, a non-Christian may think that they're children, but the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are his children, been called to be in a relationship, and that we can call God, which you could not do in the Old Testament, as your personal Father. It blows me away. I mean, when you put it on a scale that large, and to know that God has chosen me, simple little me, predestined me, formed me in the womb of my mom, that he predestined me to come in the world, suddenly my world sort of kind of grows. I go, wow. Wow, you are so amazing, you're so vast, you're so beautiful, and you have chosen me. Why is that important to know? Because there's times in our life where we feel like we have little significance. We find that when we struggle with some type of brokenness, some type of pain, it might be depression, anxiety, something that makes us feel small or insignificant. Or we run up into the world, and the world says, you're not valuable. You don't measure up to us. You don't have the right grades. You don't have the right degrees. You don't have the right rank. You don't have the right money. You don't have the right car. You don't have the right look, whatever. They are in the process, the evil one, is to make you look like you have very little value. And if we allow for their value, their measure of value, to come in our lives, then our lives are miserable. But God reminds us, this is promised to us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And every day he reminds us through the Spirit, it bears witness with us that we are his child. And he chose you individually, chose me individually, so I can call him Father. See, if you ever want to know what life looks like, should look like, you always go back to the garden. That's how God intended life to be. If you remember in the garden, what God did every day with his children, he would walk with them. He would talk with them. He would share. They would share their life, a conversation. He loved it when you talk to him and pray to him. He created us for that. He redeemed us for that. So our prayers, yes, we get on our knees sometimes. We get in the closet and we just really get into the prayer, which we need to do. But really what God wants every day, aside from that, is you wake up and say, God, thank you. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And I can talk to you all day. See, my wife lives in Pennsylvania. And just want you to know that God never meant for men and women to be alone. It was never meant that way. God has given us great gift. But see, what God has given us is beautiful technology called phones or Zoom. Every day, three or four times, I would call up my wife or she calls me. And what is so beautiful about that, I get to hear her voice every day. I get to listen to her. I get to connect with her. It is something I cherish. It is something I look forward to every day. In the same way, God every day, and this is my last note here, looks forward to hearing you talk to him. You sharing your life with him. Just talking, listening to his voice. He loves to hear you pray. And he gives us this privilege of calling God our Father, a personal God. Let's pause and pray. Father, thank you for choosing us, first of all, to even be your child. We know that if we really think about that, it's just amazing that you created us from the very get-go. You formed us, you planned us, and you put us in our mother's wombs, and we grew, and you shaped us, and you gave us all the necessary things to be able to communicate to you, to live a life that you want us to live. But all you want for us is to remind ourselves that you love when we pray to you, when we talk to you. Just a simple, beautiful, profound relationship with you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.